Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. If you have youngsters, you may be looking for some suggestions for summertime vacation reading for the kids. We have some for you. Joining me in studio with their suggestions, Emily Hall is co-owner of Main Street Books in St. Charles. Jennifer Ilardi is the children's librarian at the Florissant Valley branch of the St. Louis County Library. And Jeffrey Blair is co-owner of the I See Me bookstore in University City. Thanks all for being with us. Nice to have you. Thank you for having us.
Nice to be here.
Jennifer, let me begin with you. I guess we can't underestimate the importance of kids reading any time, but summertime is an important time for them to stick with it, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's one of the reasons why we do have our Summer Reading Club program, to kind of try to avoid that summer slide, to get them excited to earn books as they go through our program and to get other fun things. And we're always seeing parents coming in saying, you know, what can my kids read? And maybe they don't like reading, and how can we, you know, match them with their interests so that way they keep that their brain moving and working all summer long.
Emily, do you find the same kind of interest in the bookstore?
I do, actually, yeah. There's a lot of parents that come in, a lot of kids that come in over the course of the summer looking for something, maybe to de-stress a little bit. They have so much required reading and homework over the school year, they just want something a little bit fun, something exciting. So we do a cracking trade in young adult novels over the summer for all of those teenagers looking to de-stress a little bit.
Jeffrey, same experience for you?
Same experience, absolutely, yeah. Right. During the school year, of course, but also during the summer because, you know, they're not in school anymore. There's more free time. They'd rather have them reading books than, you know, on the computer or on, you know, on the phone. And so they always come in and are asking for recommendations.
That was going to be my next question. Are they more interested in reading today than they are in their devices?
Yes, you know, absolutely,
really?
Yeah. So, I mean, for the parents, they want that more. The kids want to play the video games more so and things like that. But that's why we try to help them and guide them to give them some selections that children are going to be interested in and stimulated with. And a lot of the stories, you know, have a lot of those themes in it, but it's just exposing them to getting them started reading.
Emily, how much guidance do you give the young people when they come in?
I actually have to give more guidance to the parents, to be perfectly honest with you. The kids come in, they go right upstairs to the young adult section. They're so happy to just look through the books, look at the covers, read the summaries, and I'll actually go upstairs and I'll find like four or five young adults that are just kind of sitting there looking at a book or talking amongst themselves. The parents, it becomes a bit of an issue because there are a lot of kids nowadays that have a higher reading level when it comes to their grade level. So we have eighth graders come in reading in at 11th grade level. So how do you recommend to parents books that are going to be engaging and challenging for them to read but still appropriate in terms of content for their age? So I give a lot of advice on that score.
And then, Jennifer, there's a question of the evolution of the reading in terms of, you know, you go from fairy tales to history, for instance. There is a progression, I guess, where kids are more interested in reading that will teach them something as opposed to purely entertain them.
I think so. I think sometimes especially when like the older elementary school age kids come in and they're looking for a title, they're not so much interested in reading like the fairy tales and folk tales, and they think that all the books are going to be about some storyline, you know, which I enjoy, but sometimes it's easier to take them to the nonfiction section to be able to tell them a little bit more. Like one of the books series that is really popular among young students is the I Survived series, and they cover so many different disasters. And so, okay, you read that novel when you were younger, or you were engaged by that. Maybe we can go into the nonfiction section instead of just reading about the story, this historical fiction. Let's find out some actual information about sharks or what did happen, you know, with weather and Hurricane Katrina and the tornado in Joplin. Like, let's learn that way. And they seem to kind of perk up and become a little bit more interested when I take them to those places.
What would that age group generally be?
I normally work now with a lot with like the 9 to 12 year old age range. The teens, sometimes it's more their interest driven. You kind of just gotta show them what's going on and let them pick a little bit, is what I find. Do you find the same?
Absolutely. The teenagers like to pick their own books.
Yeah. But with the younger kids, I can kind of introduce them to things, and they get like, oh, I didn't know you had that, and and then they sit down and look through and give me what they don't want anymore, and I tell them I won't be offended at all.
Right. Jeffrey, who's more interested in summertime reading, young men or young women?
I think overall we've seen, young girls usually have more interest in reading. And so that's why a lot of times we have to put some effort to try to find some things for boys that are going to be interested in. You know, so it could be maybe it's sports, maybe it's different things like mysteries, maybe it's different, you know, whatever their topic may be, science sometimes. Mm-hmm. We try to find titles and content that's going to be able to pique their interest.
So boys and girls actually are different.
They do have some differences, yes.
You heard it here first.
That's right.
Yeah, let's start with our list then. Jeffrey, I'll start with you.
Okay.
What is your top recommendation for the summer?
Well, depending on the age group, right? And so one of the things that I love are picture books, right? That's the younger age, kindergarten type, 3 to 8 year old. And and so there's one here with July 4th just happening. This one is called A Spy Called James. And it's a true story of James Lafayette, who was a Revolutionary War double agent. And so James was a slave, and he was recruited by the Patriots in order to help work with them. And he was recruited to become a spy. And so he could read, he could write. He was who he worked for was a bookkeeper, and so he knew how to do all those various things. But he sort of dumbed himself down to be sort of like he was illiterate. And so the British end up allowing him to be their guide and help with their food and all those various things. And they would talk in front of him. He saw all the plans that they had, all the maps and everything like that. And he was able to bring the information back over to the Patriot side and help give them good information. And so this story, so how he becomes double agent is they trust him so much on the British side that they said they tried to do the same thing and have him become a spy against the Patriots. And so he would actually give them false information and allow them to, the Patriots in order to be successful. And so, a part of, why we open up ICME is that a lot of times it's hard for African-American children to find books that reflect them or that talk about their history and contribution to society. And so it's good for us to be able to have information like this so that as we go through these various events that they can look and sort of see, oh, okay, yeah, we contributed and we're a part of this story as well. And so it's really done. I love the graphics, and it's something even at a young age they can start having this understanding about the contributions to the world.
This really is a gap in our education system, that black history. We observe it once a year, right, in February, but we don't see much of it in the textbooks.
That's right. And so that's why we started ICME with our own children. It was very difficult for us. We have 4 children, and to be able to find it, we just had to go searching and looking. And so we eventually grew into the bookstore. And so we wanted to make it easy for parents and for schools and for libraries and things like that to be able to find the information that they need that's going to be helpful, for the children to see themselves and information that they need. We want to promote literacy, African-American history, and positive African-American images. And so the research says when children are engaged with the characters and information, they're going to read more and read longer.
And lots of interesting stuff for white kids as well.
And that's another research there too. Exposing white kids to multicultural information helps limit their implicit bias as well. And so it's positive all the way around. And so it's a great experience.
Emily, you're nodding. You like this idea.
I do. I actually do. When I have young adults come into the store who are looking for a book to read over the summer, it's really important to me to not only let them or not only show them books that, are going to be familiar to them, but introduce them to kind of a different viewpoint. The book that I'm reading now actually is a lot of fun. It's called When Dimple Met Rishi by Sandhya Menon. It actually goes through the experiences of an Indian American girl. Her parents have come over from India, and they're very invested in sort of the Indian culture and the finding a husband for their daughter, an arranged marriage, the outfits, the makeup, having their daughter be the ideal Indian woman. But their daughter, Dimple, she is completely uninterested in this. She wants to go to Stanford. She wants to be a technology developer. And so she's tried to get into this camp over the summer between high school and college called Insomniacon, where she's going to design an app for phones. What she doesn't know is that her parents are letting her go because the man they want her to marry is also going to go. So, of course, it's a little bit of a comedy of errors there. She's completely uninterested in the guy that she's supposed to marry, quote-unquote. He's totally into this idea of, oh, we're going to respect the culture. We're going to, we're going to do this arranged marriage, and it's going to work out, and it's going to be great. And I can't wait to see what happens when they actually meet and chaos ensues. So, but it introduces us to a completely foreign way of thinking, and my parents, you know, would never have assumed to arrange me a marriage, but that's a complete and utter intrinsic part of Indian American culture. So I'm really interested to sort of get into it and sort of see what happens.
Well, lots of lessons there. Absolutely. Jennifer, what's your top suggestion?
My top suggestions. I always find that reading doesn't necessarily have to be like, okay, well, you know, we're going to sit down. Like, you can connect so many different things to reading. So I pulled a bunch of nonfiction books like to kind of pair with some of the experiences that you might already be doing during the summer. So let's say you go to the St. Louis Zoo and you want to learn more about the animals. Well, one of our books, one of my colleagues was worried that this might scare kids a little bit, but it's one of the 100 most feared creatures. So it's a list of all of these different animals. Yeah. And some of the animals that are in this book are at the St. Louis Zoo, like the polar bear, the black rhino, with the new baby rhino that was just born and stuff too. So I thought I'd say a little bit about the black rhino. Its deadly weapon is it has its pointed nose turned pointed nose horn up to 3 feet long, and its scary skills is it charges its enemies at high speeds. So on a scale of 1 to 5, this one has 4 teeth. Like, that's how they charge it, you know, by the number of teeth. So the black rhino, we've got the polar bears, we've got the hippo, the tiger, chimpanzees, and then there's several more. But you can earn this book through our summer reading club program.
Nice.
And then another book that you can earn is the book Little Shack by Shaquille O'Neal, which is a super fun book.
That's an oxymoron, Little Shack.
Right, exactly. That's what makes it so much fun. And Little Shack, to no surprise to anybody, plays basketball. And so it's just a fun little book, especially for those kids that are going from your picture books to your chapter books. It's nice and easy, and I think some of the kids can relate when you have a friend who won't pass you the ball and thinks he's better, and just how that's to great. Be a good teammate.
And that's a big seller at the store, and for boys, exactly.
Yeah.
Pairing the interest and the things they read. And like this, it's a series book.
Yeah.
So if they like one, then they continue on down the next one, the third one. Gonna keep
and he doesn't just stick with basketball.
Right.
He deals with art and stuff
absolutely.
Like that,
That's just the hook to get you in, but then you have all these other concepts that
right.
you can
he did a
with.
Really good job with the series. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes your celebrities don't always.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a line in a Dave Barry book. He wrote about the state of Florida, his state. And he said, for many years, the tallest thing in the state of Florida was LeBron James. That's the kind of stuff that Dave Barry does.
Oh,
okay, Jeffrey, back to you.
Well, speaking about celebrities writing books, there's one here by Taye Diggs. It's called Chocolate Me.
Love it.
And this is in the category that's sort of like positive self-esteem, affirmations, things like that. And so this one is Chocolate Me. And again, the idea of the bookstore is to really promote information to children to validate themselves. So there's not a lot of positive information that African-American children are given on a daily basis, whether it's in the school books or on television or news or whatever. So these are ways, books being both a mirror and a window to allow children to really, you know, feel some validation and some pride about themselves. So Chocolate Me is a good one by Taye Diggs, the actor. Mm. He also has another one that accompanies this called Mixed Me as well. And so for biracial children, it's something that they can relate to as well. It talks about the beauty of having brown skin. And just in that same category, there's a couple others. One is called I Love My Hair. African-American girls sometimes, have some challenges with their hair, the images and of quality of what good hair, bad hair is. And so this is one of those things that sort of speaks about your hair is beautiful the way it is. And so in that same category, there's two other titles that I wanted to bring out. And these are local authors. One is called Me, 10 Poetic Affirmations, and it's written by Julius B. Anthony. And he's right here in St. Louis. And let's just read this one of the affirmations that's here very briefly from the first one. It's called Me. No one looks the way I do. I have noticed that it's true. No one walks the way I walk. No one talks the way I talk. I am special. I am me. There's no one. There's no one. There's no one I'd rather be than me. I'm so glad to be me.
Yeah,
so
awesome.
So it's great. And so along with these, definitely we have a lot of titles there that have the same type of theme, just reinforcing the children. It's easy to read, something to do again in the summer, just chilling out. But it's something that also gives some, you know, all people, adults and everybody, have need affirmations and motivations.
And they're not being made to read it by a teacher.
No.
That makes a big difference.
Exactly right.
Nice. Okay, Emily, let's come back to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a break in a moment, so we'll get you and Jennifer back in, and then we'll take a break.
Wonderful. We're talking about celebrity writers, and sometimes writers get so much buzz and so much hype that they become celebrities themselves. Of course, J.K. Rowling and Stephen King come to mind, but one of the biggest celebrity writers for young adults right now is, of course, John Green, who has a new novel coming out in October. But while you're waiting for John Green's new novel, which is called Turtles All the Way Down, I brought a couple of contemporary young adult novels that are going to appeal to both teenage boys and teenage girls. The first is a debut author, A.E. Kaplan, and her book is Grendel's Guide to Love and War, a tale of rivalry, romance, and existential angst. It's actually a kind of a strange allusion to Beowulf, if you get from the title. The main character's name is Tom Grendel. And it's basically a sort of supposition, you know, Grendel was just this kind of monster who was hanging out, having a good time, you know, being himself. And then these guys come in, Hrothgar and all of his guys come in, and they just start having parties every night and just yucking it up and having a good time. And Grendel can't handle it anymore. And so he tries to go and tell them, hey, calm down. But then they, of course, invite Beowulf in, and, you know, chaos ensues. Well, Grendel's Guide to Love and War is a little bit less violent, there's everybody still drunk in it. But anyway, it's a great book about Tom Grendel, his dad, who has post-traumatic stress disorder, who is completely bothered by all these parties going on next door. And Tom has to sort of figure out how to get the parties to stop, but it keeps escalating. Everything keeps escalating. You know, the Hrothgars, Rex, and Willow, they won't stop the parties. And then their cousin Wolf Gates comes to town, and he just is a giant mess, and everything goes wrong. Stolen hounds from, you know, a crazy redneck, and a botched break-in in an artisanal pig farm. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. The ending is really, really satisfying. And it's a good book for fans of John Green without being rip your heart out depressing.
Thank
like
you.
Most of John yeah. Green's novels.
Jennifer, you're getting a kick out of these yeah. stories.
I love it. It's hilarious. It's wonderful.
Give me another title or two, and then we'll move on.
Well, I really liked, I don't know if I mentioned that we have a bunch of books about, like, science and stuff. So, like, if you go to the Science Center and you see something that's super fun, you can come back, you can come to the library, check out some books, and go home and be your own scientist with just some household mm-hmm. materials. And then also, I always plug the library's resources beyond books, too. We have these SciFinder kits where you can check them out, where it includes a book, a DVD, and other hands-on material. So, other things that you can get at the library that it's a lot of fun to check out is books about space. So if you go to the planetarium and you're checking out, you know, all sorts of different things, and you have more questions, parents, you can come in and grab these books so you can answer them too. And you could check out one of our telescopes and go explore space on your own.
We do have an eclipse coming up.
Yeah, we do. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have different programs at the library too about the eclipse. So you could check that out on our website. Or even if you're just going to the park, you can check out one of our books about insects so you can identify them a little bit more and learn more about the lightning bugs that you're catching or the ants that you're looking at, hopefully not under a microscope or a magnifying glass. So we've got lots of fun stuff. So whatever you're interested in, just come into the library and we'll get you all connected to a book of your choice.
Terrific. Welcome back, and have more proposals and suggestions and selections for summertime reading for young people in just a moment. My guest in studio, Emily Hall, co-owner of Main Street Books in St. Charles. Jennifer Larder is the children's librarian at the Florissant Valley branch of the St. Louis County Library. And Jeffrey Blair is co-owner of the I See Me Bookstore in University City. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Emily Hall, Jennifer Ilardi, and Jeffrey Blair about summertime reading suggestions for kids. Okay, Jeffrey, I'll come back to you. What else have you got for us?
Okay, so we'll move up to the chapter books, and there's one that's at the top of the list, and it's called One Crazy Summer, and it's by Rita Williams Garcia. It actually is a New York Times bestseller. It's on a number of awards. Three African-American children, and they're living with their father on the East Coast. And their mother had actually abandoned them a few years earlier and moved to the West Coast. And so the girls end up spending the summer with their mother on the West Coast. And they have these thoughts about, oh, we're going over to see Hollywood. We're going to be able to go to Disneyland, all these various things. But this is actually happening during the 60s. And that's not exactly the situation that they're going to come into. They meet their mother. Their mother is a little aloof, a little distant. And she's sort of focused on doing sort of her own thing. And so it's sort of some of those challenges where the oldest one sort of takes on that role as mother, some of the adventures that they go through and that sort of dynamic and whatever. And it's funny as they sort of deal with that situation. They actually, it's turned in the 60s, and so they actually are participating during the day with the Black Panthers summer camp. That day camp. And so a lot of people don't know, but you know, the originations of the Black Panthers had to do a lot of community events that they did, such as food programs and tutoring and summer after school programs and summer programs as well. So they're a part of that. So they get a little exposure to that. So you get some touch on the civil rights movement, what's going on during that time as well. So there's a lot of intersections that are happening here with this family, sisterhood, adventures, being in the summer and kind of being on your own a little bit, and then also even intertwining some of the aspects of the civil rights as well. So it's a really good read, and it's very popular. This is a book that – it's also a series as well. I love series because if you like one, then you can continue on to the next one. So it's like three in this series, and so this is just the first one. So it's really a good read. We get really good feedback from the different people who get it.
Another case in which the book is telling a story that wasn't told exactly that way back in the 60s.
That's right. That's right. So children can be able to get exposed to this, and also because the idea is, again, we want to be able to fill that gap that's out there as well as allow them to be critical thinkers as well, right?
So that's important. Yeah. It's important.
But have fun while they're doing it in a child-friendly way.
That's important, too.
Absolutely.
Emily?
So I'm actually going to go in the complete opposite direction and go into young adult fantasy, which is one of my favorite genres to read. I just finished The Lunar Chronicles by Marissa Meyer, The Infernal Devices series by Cassandra Clare, but the two that I really enjoy that I've enjoyed this past year, the first is The Flame in the Mist by Renee Adea. She is the author of the best-selling The Wrath and the Dawn. And The Flame in the Mist is an Asian-inspired fantasy, sort of Tamora Pierce, the famous fantasy writer Tamora Pierce, kind of meets Mulan. It's about a girl who is being sent off to the Imperial City to be married, but her caravan is attacked by bandits, and she's trying to figure out who was paid to kill her. So she actually joins this band of bandits under the guise of a young boy. This band is called the Black Clan, and she sort of, as she infiltrates them, she learns that there's more to their band than meets the eye, and maybe they weren't the ones who were responsible for the attack. So I believe it's the first of a duology, so of course there's another one coming next year, which we now have to all wait for, which is terrible. But it was a really, really enjoyable read, features a really strong heroine. The second is the debut novel The Black Witch by Laurie Forrest, and it is an intense fantasy. It's an absolutely incredibly written book. It's kind of a brick. It's really, really long. But if you're into that kind of, into the fantasy world, into witches and werewolves and dragons and all of that kind of thing, it's really, really interesting. It's about a young woman who has to live up to the legacy of her grandmother, who was the Black Witch and sort of brought about an era of so-called peace in their world. But as she goes to school and learns more about her grandmother's legacy, she starts to figure out that maybe what her grandmother did to bring people together wasn't the best thing. So I really enjoyed both of those. I actually finished The Black Witch on a plane coming back from vacation, and it entranced me the whole way. It was incredible. So really highly recommend both of those books.
Okay, a personal recommendation there. Okay, Jennifer.
All right. Well, I can't be on a show about book recommendations without recommending one of my favorite books of all time, and it's The BFG by Roald Dahl. And if you've read any of Roald Dahl's stuff, a lot of times he always includes words that he just made up, you know, in order to be able to make it fun, which makes it a really great read aloud and a really fun tongue twister. And it's about this little girl named Sophie who gets snatched up by a giant who collects dreams and mixes dreams. And so based on that, you know, there's all sorts of different things that he has to deal with, because even though he's a giant, he's actually one of the smallest giants, and he seems to be a little bit more learned than the other giants, but it's just a lot of fun to be able to read aloud. And with a nonfiction companion to it, there's actually an Oxford Roald Dahl dictionary. So if you've ever read any of Roald Dahl's stuff and you want to see what they say about it, about some of the words, you can totally look it up. So there's one sentence in here in the BFG, where he uses the word wigglish about his language, about him being able to speak, and it says wigglish is nonsense or words that don't make any sense. And so the BFG says, I know exactly what words I'm wanting to say, but there is always getting squiffed-squiddled around. I speak in the most terrible wigglish. And he says, did you know when he invented the word wigglish, Roald Dahl may have been thinking of wiggly English, as the BFG sometimes gets words the wrong way around. You could also call it squigglish from squiggly in English. But it also has regular words in here, too, just to be able to flip through. And the words that Roald Dahl made up or different characters are in blue, and English words are in bold black, and so it's just kind of fun to be able to explore different words, I guess. I've always loved doing that.
In our next segment, we have an author who wrote her first published her first book, age 13. She made up a lot of words in that book, too, so we'll talk about that. We have a couple of communications here from listeners. Madonna is written, when we're speaking of words, by the way, other than vocabulary difficulty, can you give an example of subject matter that exhibits the difference between a book appropriate for a fifth grader and a book appropriate for an eighth grader? Anything come to mind? I mean, there again, we're talking about kids grow and subject matter becomes more or less appropriate. Anything come to mind?
A specific example of a book that would that would work?
No. So vocabulary is definitely one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then also I think maybe the size and the pace of the story itself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So there's just as an example, there's one here that we have Jaden Toussaint, The Greatest. And it's a small chapter book. It's like a beginner chapter book. And so it also has some images in it. So it kind of is a good transition. Mm-hmm. And it's a very simple story. He's a five-year-old and he's really smart, like the smartest guy in the world, let's say, he thinks he is. And he wants it's the quest for screen time. So he wants to figure out a way to have more screen time on like, you know, the mobile phones and things like that. But his parents want him to read more. And so mm-hmm. it's just his way of trying to outsmart his parents so he can do that. So simple things like that.
This may work into this part of the conversation. We have a communication here. A woman is talking about subject matter such as LGBT mm-hmm. rights. You know, there has to be a point in which you don't want to expose kids necessarily to that. And then when you certainly do, when would that break come, do you think?
There are picture books mm-hmm. that cover this. I mean,
absolutely.
The LGBTQ community is a part of our community. So there, I don't see any reason why I think it's okay, you know, like to be able to expose kids to the fact that your family looks like this, my family looks like this. There's a really good book. I can't remember the title of it right now. That's a picture book that says, you know, some people have two moms, some people have two dads, some people have only one mom or one dad. Or
is it Families, Families, Families?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know why
love
I couldn't
that
remember
book.
That one.
Love that picture book. It's cute.
So, and just to know that we all look, you know, we don't all look the same. Mm-hmm. I just read a book the other day called Where's My Mom by Julia Donaldson, the mm-hmm. same author of the Gruffalo, and this little butterfly is trying to help this monkey find the mom, and the butterfly's like, oh, you know, like what does she look like? And the monkey's like, well, she's big. And so the butterfly takes the monkey to see an elephant, and the monkey's like, no, it's my mom's not gray and doesn't, you know, have a small tail like that. Her tail coils around trees. And so then the butterfly takes her to see, or the monkey to see, a snake. And so it goes on and on like this. And then in the end, the butterfly said, oh, you know, the monkey said, none of these people look like me. And the butterfly finally said, I didn't realize that your mom looks like you. See, I don't look like my kids, because her kids are caterpillars and not a butterfly.
Nice.
So I think it is absolutely important to just for the same reason that we have to read mm-hmm. black books and books from other cultures as well,
yes.
is because you need to know who's in your community. And we live in a diverse one, so why not?
As our time winds down here, the person who wrote this about this subject is recommending a book called Rumpel Dimple by Susan DeWitt Hall, who is a St. Louis author.
Oh,
and it's a
okay.
picture book. So that's something maybe to you know, stick in your wallet and say, maybe we should take a look at that. I've got to wrap this up, but let me go to each of you, starting with you, Jeffrey. A final thought, what do you want to leave our young readers with?
Okay, I'll jump to one that's actually a high school book. It's called The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas. And this came out this year, and it's on the New York Times bestsellers list. So it deals with an African-American girl who lives in, say, the black side of town, but she buses into the more prosperous white side of town, and it's her life trying to kind of maneuver between those two worlds. And then while she's home at one point, she's in the car with one of her friends who ends up getting stopped by the police and then shot and killed.
Right.
Yeah, so it's pulling up those themes, and so she's going through this as an eyewitness and being caught in the limelight of sort of what this is, as well as dealing with the fact that one of her best friends just died. And so it kind of goes through and overlaps a lot of those things. And so I know it's like a heavy topic, but at the same time, you know, it's this age group that's really being affected a lot by this. Mm-hmm. And so it's like it's the elephant in the room. So I think Angie Thomas does a good job of being able to address this, but allow to also validate some of the feelings and emotions and angst that are there on both sides. side. So it does a really good job maneuvering through that, and it's a good, it'd be a good summer read.
We'll put all these your suggestions on our website at SEOpublicradio.org. Emily, quickly, can you give me a final thought?
Yes. My last book that I brought, actually, I wasn't going to be happy until I was able to talk about it. DC Comics and Random House Children's have teamed up to bring the DC Icon series for young adult authors who are writing the origin stories of four DC superheroes. The first one comes out August 29th by Leigh Bardugo. It is Wonder Woman Warbringer. Of course, at the end of the success of the Wonder Woman movie that just came out this year, it's an incredible read. It's really action-packed, and we are actually very fortunate because Leigh Bardugo will be in St. Charles on September 8th at Spencer Road Library to talk about Wonder Woman and to talk about the bonds of sisterhood. So it's an excellent, excellent read. I'm sorry it doesn't come out till the end of August, but I just can't wait to talk about it.
All right, we'll do that another time then, perhaps.
Well, I just want to say that reading is not a passive activity. It can be so active, and it's so much fun to be able to connect with your interests. So just come out to the library. We'll connect you or to the bookstore and definitely travel around and see what everybody's got to offer. And then I just hope we can keep you reading.
That's what this is all about. Yeah. I want to thank you all so much. Emily Hall of Main Street Books in St. Charles, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Jeffrey Blair, co-owner of the I See Me bookstore in University City, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Jennifer Lardy with the St. Louis County Library System.
Thank you.
Great talking to you. Thanks for all the work you put in to get this stuff for us.
All right.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.